you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era, the podcast single-handedly responsible for WWE Shop's lack of plus-size t-shirts. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith.
El Hordano Diablo.
And once again, we continue our journey into the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional wrestling. Before we get started, let's introduce Pete Milk of Milky Way Recordings fame, our Lord and Savior. Pete, say hello.
How's it going, guys?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. Actually, for once, I have some things to contribute to this podcast other than just shitty, witty remarks.
The non-wrestling fan has something to say.
I have, yeah, exactly. So on Saturday, it was our friend Courtney Brennan's birthday, who is Kidney Lean's girlfriend.
Yeah, yes.
And they wanted to go to this AIW event, which is like an independent wrestling event.
In Cleveland.
And I said, fuck it, why not? I'll go.
Hell yeah.
Given
gotta,
the recent...
Gotta do some research for this thing.
I have to be somewhat acclimated to this, I guess, so I said, why not? And it was super fun. It was really great. Had an excellent time. All the wrestling was very good. I was thoroughly impressed. You know, they kind of started out with, like, they put, like, six guys in the ring at once. And they just kind of let them go and do their, like, amateur thing.
Oh, right.
You could tell everything was, like, pretty thoroughly planned out on how they were going to do everything. But it was awesome. And it kind of just kind of progressed through there. But at one point, you know, I think it was right after intermission, they, you know, the next match was getting started. And I think a Dead Kennedys song starts playing. I'm not sure. It was pretty notable punk song. I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Right on.
And I'm like, oh, cool. Probably some, you know, punk-themed guy. Probably going to be pretty cool. Guess who comes out through
CM
the fucking
punk.
Drapes?
Who?
Alex Keller.
What?
Do you know Alex Keller?
No.
Okay. Well, never mind then. But he was a dude that was pretty prominent in the Cleveland music scene. He was in... let's see.
I know the name for sure.
Yeah, he was in Basement Boys. He was in Mad Minds. He also, either lived at the Tower for a while or booked shows there for a while.
Gotcha.
Him and his little buddy, whose like signature thing was like throwing up two hang looses before he like drop kicked you or whatever. But it was sweet. So it was like them versus like it was like a tag team match of like them versus like these two like corporate looking motherfuckers. There, I don't know, they were fucking dumb, but they ended up winning their match. It was super good. And then yeah, it kind of just progressed throughout the night, and the main event was this dude from Scotland named Grado.
Okay.
Who had a pretty decent penguin belly. And the legend, Tracy Smothers.
Tracy Smothers of ECW fame.
Now, mind you, when I walked into the event at the beginning of the night, he was like the main merch table, and he was selling shirts with the Confederate flag on them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, this is probably a guy who was really huge back in the day, and he's probably here to, like, you know, sell his shit and be, you know, present in the scene. You know, that's really awesome.
Yeah, he's there to make money.
I had no clue that he was actually going to wrestle, because, dude, this guy looked like he was hurting. He was barely walking, dude.
Yeah, he's been old for quite some time. Like back in the late 90s, as I was telling you right before we started, he was... there was this faction in ECW called the Full-Blooded Italians, and it was like these dudes who came out in these green shirts with red writing that said FBI on it.
And didn't it carry over to...
It did. It carried over a little bit into WWE, yeah. But they squashed it pretty quick. But it was like, it was an ECW thing,
yeah.
And it was mostly like these Italian guys, your Italian looking guys. Little Guido was his name at the time.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Big Sally, But Tracy Smothers joined, and I remember watching when Tracy Smothers joined, and my dad was like, what the fuck? I think he's from, like, Tennessee or something. Yeah. He's not fucking Italian.
He exactly is from Tennessee, and he had a Confederate flag with him, like a full, like on a wooden spool thing. Like
absolutely,
he did. They actually use it as a weapon at one point.
Oh yeah, because it's not already a weapon, right?
Yeah, but you know, the match is going on, and there's like, I mean, they're not wrestling; they're just talking for a solid 15, 20 minutes, just inciting drama with each other. There's
sounds no, like an episode of Raw, really.
Yeah, but it's going along, and I know it's all an act, but there were certain people, there were certain like prominent figures that you could tell who had set up that event that were watching the ring and being like, what in the actual fuck is going on? And like, what the fuck did we hire this guy for? Like, the homie drove from fucking Tennessee the night before.
Right.
Basically just made fun of Cleveland for a solid 25 minutes, 30 minutes, wrestled for all of maybe five, inciting the crowd. Just, it was... He was doing a great job of playing the heel, the bad guy, if you will, which is a term that I've come into familiarity recently.
The heel.
Thanks to you guys. But there was a moment in my mind that will stick out forever. And there was a little girl in the crowd who was there with her dad. And Grado, God bless his soul, was fucking doing everything he could that entire match to try and salvage it. Like, let's make this entertaining somewhat because this dude is washed up. He can't fucking wrestle. He can't do anything. He can't dance anymore. He can't sing anymore. He's just basically being a fucking racist on stage. So there's this little girl, and she's like just yelling shit at him, and fucking Grado decides to fucking give this little girl the mic, and she basically tells Tracy Smothers that he sucks.
I was hoping you were going to be, she was like, fuck you.
It gets better. It gets better. So a couple more things progress. It's pretty lame. Somehow, somewhere in the between, Tracy Smothers has a microphone and he looks at this 11-year-old girl like right before like he walks out and he points at her and calls her a little bitch.
He was like, I fucking love the wrestling business. He was like, business.
I'm done now, with you. I'm so going back to my hotel to and I'm going to drink. I didn't say it, but he was like, I'm going to get wasted.
And
I'm going
to drive to Tennessee. This one's for
fuck
you,
you Cleveland.
Bitch.
And then he pauses and just looks at the girl and points at her and just calls her a little bitch.
Ty, everybody else is going to hear it, but I don't think you could hear him. Ty is going to chime in with what he just said.
Oh, I'm taking my shoes off. So I don't
be closer.
Hello.
There you go. I can hear you.
So he aggressively points at the girl and says, "This one's for you, you little bitch."
I fucking love professional wrestling so much.
That's why you go to indies to see
fucking
shit like
dudes
that
are just like falling apart.
Yeah, dude. But like, I looked up. Dude's only 53, and let me tell you, he looks like a deep fried looking hot dog motherfucker.
Dude, that's what the Tennessee sun, a lot of racism, painkillers, and booze will do to you.
Yeah, dude. He was definitely swallowing some kind of pill before the match because I walked by and he had a bottle. And it looked like vitamins, but I could tell by the pills those were not vitamins. Yeah,
it's Viagra.
It was a fucking horse tranquilizer, is what it was.
No, what's funny is when it comes to independence, you see some crazy shit if you look it up on YouTube. Like I remember back when CM Punk was still doing his indie days. He's like at a wrestling match, and some kid goes, "I hate you, CM Punk," and he walks over to the side of the ring and goes, "I hope your parents die,"
because they can get away with whatever the fuck they want, dude. They're not on TV. I find that fucking hilarious. Was that when you said that was right before he walked out?
Yeah, it was like literally moments before he just left the ring.
Jesus Christ.
Another note, just one more and like one more tidbit from that night. I didn't think going into that wrestling match, like going to that thing, that at any point in the night I would see a full-grown man toss a woman, and right before he tossed her would exclaim, "How about this for women's rights?" And It was an intergender match between like the heel of that league and some girl.
Oh my god!
Hey Pete, I think we should have trigger warning that.
Oh god, dude!
Trigger.
Jesus Christ! Like, dude, I mean, and he's doing that shit to get heat, but I mean, I'm sure
does he mean it?
No, obviously he doesn't. That's fucking hilarious, oh my dude. God. Though.
It was thoroughly entertaining. And there's another one December 18th at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yeah, dude, Scott Hall's going to be there.
Dude,
yeah.
I went to that school when I was growing up.
Damn.
and like what pisses me off is they haven't always done AIW shows there. So it would have been so great if I was like in grade school, every Friday night they had a new fucking wrestling show. I would have totally gone to that shit. I've been Mom, you could pick me up at like 10.
Dude, that's...
Yeah, it was super tight and I thought I would share. Also, kind of plug the show a little bit. So yeah,
absolutely.
A good night all around. And, you know, I have a new perspective on wrestling outside of this bullshit that I do for you guys.
No, it's actually very nice to have you have gone to that and be able to tell us what happened, because I'm looking very forward to meeting Scott Hall for the second time in my life in a couple weeks.
Fuck
hey,
you.
Yo. Hey, yo.
Nah, it's interesting, like, you know, because, like you said, Scott Hall is coming, you know, this month to Cleveland, but I'm excited for a little bit of difference, and that's JCW is coming to the Agora.
I know, dude. I want to get a big group group together. It goes so fucking bad.
With the, as you know, we also got to take Ty the Gatherer.
We have to take Ty the Gatherer. All right, so shall we move on with the show?
To This Week in Wrestling.
This Week in Wrestling.
Yeah, so...
This Week in Wrestling is the greatest opening fucking segment to a Raw I've seen, and this is legitimate fucking happiness right now.
Yeah.
They took 16 of the biggest guys they got right now.
Yeah.
Well, and fucking pitted them all against each other. 16 of their biggest storylines.
Yeah.
And pitted them all against each other, and it was fucking awesome.
So, literally... I'm sitting there watching, and I see the League of Nations. I go, oh, great, another 20-minute Sheamus jerk-off ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, fucking Bray Wyatt's fucking...
Yeah, and they're right there in the...
Right, and they just there's no fucking walkout. They're just in the middle of the ring. And Bray...
That I thought was interesting, because I did not realize what they were going to follow up with next.
Yeah.
But that was fucking cool. I was like, oh, where are they going with this?
Well, what I thought was great was when Bray said that line where he was like... Where he was like, you don't understand, this is my world, I just allow you to breathe in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, shit, he's like so badass. And I'm like, God, I wish you weren't a glorified jobber right now.
It was cool. And then the next fucking thing you see...
you see fireworks coming down. And all of a sudden fucking...
The Dudleys
come out. And Tommy Dreamer of ECW fame. Right, and I'm immediately like, I'm in, whatever they're doing.
Well, and there had been rumors all week about there's going to be another ECW original. Who's the fourth man? Who's the fourth man? And who comes out?
Wait a minute. Before you get into that.
Come on, fuckface.
Before you get
into that. I'm excited. You're pissing me off already.
I know you're not on fucking Twitter, but like as much as
I am on Twitter.
But not as much as I am. Did you see what Bubba Ray posted last week?
Mm-mm.
When there was the whole who's the fourth man thing? He fucking posted lyrics to Enter Sandman to throw the fans off.
Oh, they would have never done that, though. I would not. Even believe that.
But regardless, it was just such a tease. I was like, fuck you, Bubba. But anyway, so all of a sudden, even though he's been on NXT's roster for a bit, Rhino fucking comes back.
Fucking Rhino.
And he's on
dude.
The main show, and we haven't seen him on a main show in, I think, a decade.
I mean, since One Night Stand, probably.
Well, no, because he was in Raw for a little bit after that, and he was on ECW for a little bit.
I mean, almost
the like, well, the rehashed ECW.
Yeah.
But regardless, it was just fucking rad to see the four of them together.
Yeah.
Right? So they come in the ring, and, you know...
Wasn't the guy I was expecting, but that's still pretty fucking cool.
Who were you expecting?
I didn't know, but I just... I was... Maybe RVD would have made sense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not bitching. Rhino's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Rhino's cool.
Well, okay, so after that, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's, like, all pumped. And then you hear fucking Roman's music kick in.
Yeah.
And here's what I thought was really cool was they all came out from the fucking audience. It's Roman, the Usos, and fucking Ambrose. And I'm all about this because, like, don't get me wrong. I know we give Roman shit, but... I love it when he teams up with Ambrose, and I love the fucking Usos.
Yeah,
now that the Usos are back, it makes me so fucking happy.
Yeah.
Right? So they're all in the ring, and they're fucking staring each other down. And all of a sudden, it's like, something's going down. We don't know what's going down. Commercial break comes back, and it's been revealed that it's going to be a 16-man tag elimination match. And the way that they have it set up is basically if one person from each team gets eliminated...
But one person from each team in the ring at one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
it's set up like
it's
a
not something
forward.
They normally do.
Oh yeah, it's something they pretty much never do.
Yeah.
And but yeah, and then we get into
people are going fucking nuts.
Oh yeah,
dude. And there was spot after spot in that match.
Well, and that's the thing. fucking at one point, you know, you had that great spot where, you know, you had Dreamer on the ground, you had Strowman, and you had I don't think it was both Usos. Was it both Usos?
Outside?
Yeah, because it was Rusev, it was both Usos, and then it was fucking Strowman,
mm-hmm.
all fucking power bombed off the top rope.
Yeah,
and then Dreamer, who's on the ground, fucking leaps over and gets fucking kicked in the face.
Yeah, it was that was cool. I mean, the first I was surprised to see the. I mean, I knew who the teams were going to end up being. Like, yeah. It was obviously going to be Roman's team and Sheamus' team. Yeah. But like, it was good that they didn't. That they didn't bitch out Bray Wyatt again, and they let it be
Rowan.
Took the DDT from the Dreamer Driver, and that's technically not the Dreamer Driver. The Dreamer Driver.
Well, they called it the Dreamer Driver.
The Dreamer Driver is a pile driver that he used to do.
But it was just baffling. Like, it was so cool to see Tommy Dreamer, because we didn't really see him wrestle legitimately in his last appearance on Raw.
Roman, I got excited for Roman versus Rhino. I thought they were gonna at it for a minute. Because
here's the thing, like they sitting there, and the way that they stared each other down in the ring was so awesome.
They both started backing up a little bit. Yeah, and I was like,
and it's like they're both gearing up to spear, and it's like. It was so great because right before that is when everybody got in the ring, because that was when I think it was Dreamer.
The crowd went nuts.
Well, Dreamer had Sheamus pinned, I think, or one of them. Right. But Barrett came in and fucking broke up the pin. Yeah. So that caused every single team to come in and fucking brawl. Oh, dude, it was so good.
It was so cool. And then, I mean,
Tommy Dreamer. You know, his team, Bubba takes a bro kick from Sheamus. They get eliminated, so you're down to two teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was Jey Uso, is getting the shit kicked out of him, right? And he looks bad. So he finally makes the tag to Roman, and Roman comes in fucking hot. Like Superman punches all over the
place. Yeah, did you notice, though, that, you know, some people cheered when Roman got tagged in, but a lot of people booed. And then when he hit the drive-by, and then Ambrose hit Air Ambrose, or whatever the fuck they call it, right after that, everybody went fucking nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Well, and then you got to the point where it's like, you know, Sheamus goes to get the bro kick on Roman.
And he spears him.
And it was
good. Nasty spear, too.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, just get him down 1, 2, 3, and it's over. And then the evening got a little bit better, actually, because after that, we got... fucking Ziggler versus Owens,
and that was...
Which was an excellent fucking match. One of my favorite parts is the trash-talking that Kevin Owens does in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that great fucking thing where he's like, come on, show off, show me something! And it was so fucking great. He's such a heel. He's doing his job so
well. And then Ambrose comes out after, and he's like...
popcorn and
he throws
soda.
A popcorn and pop in his face, and he's just like... you know, they're supposed to, it's my music. I won. He's just playing a little baby, and it's good.
Yeah.
And that match will probably be the best match on Sunday, for sure.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I think it will be, for sure. I mean, they're both fucking great. But, I mean, aside from that, this week in wrestling is pretty much pointless to talk about.
Yeah, because, literally, the rest of Raw was fucking garbage.
I mean, I thought it was pretty funny, though, how the crowd definitely went with Roman. And started chanting tater tots about Sheamus' balls, which is pretty fucking funny.
But my problem is, like, you know, you take Roman as someone you're supposed to build up as, like, you know, someone who's mature, someone who's ready to be the champion.
Yeah, and he's like, he makes little kid jokes.
And he's sitting there talking like he's in fucking middle school.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, all in all, I'd say maybe a D+ because of the excellence of the
I would even go more than that just because of, like...
Like a C-?
I actually was watching, like... I turned it on today, and I was, like, just sitting there, and I was on the computer, like, looking up stuff for what we'll talk about later, and I was just, like, I literally, like, did a double take, and I was, like, wait, what's going on right now? Wait, this is cool. Like, do more like this. I will watch every week if you do more like that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It was a genius move on their part, but then they followed it up with a couple shitty matches, and then some bullshit Miz TV shit with the Divas.
Oh, you know what was funny, though, was because I watched it on Hulu, and, you know,
Paige slapping Ric Flair.
No, I don't give a shit about that at all. But I was watching it on Hulu, and the Jack Swagger angle angle that they're doing.
Oh yeah,
with Zeb Coulter and the whole thing. Yeah. It left for a commercial break, like the Hulu commercial break, and came in midway through that match. Yes. Like they did not start that match on Hulu, and I was just it shows how much they give a shit.
Well, probably didn't see it because you know you were watching it on Hulu, but like Stardust gave a fucking promo.
He gave
a fucking promo, and he was like trying his best to imitate Mark Hamill's Joker. He really was. And he's like sitting there talking about how the cosmic force is going to take down the American hero Jack Swagger and shit like that.
So that's This Week in Wrestling.
Yeah. Fucking D plus for me. What, you give it a C minus?
I give it a C just because I got to see the Dudleys and Dreamer and Rhino all back together doing cool shit, and like they got to fucking hit a 3D this week, which was nice. Yeah. And
I was bummed they didn't get the What's Up though.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah. But still, I was happy with that.
That match was solid though.
Like, oh yeah.
And it was so great.
Well, you have that's pretty much all talent in there.
Yeah, but I will say that I did have kind of an issue with they did make the Wyatts look ineffective. They were eliminated.
Dude, of course.
And on top of that, like Dreamer was the one that eliminated them.
Excuse me?
Here's the thing. I'm not shitting on Dreamer. I love Dreamer. But at the same time, if they're trying to make the Wyatts look strong, which they've been trying to, why have them be beat single
They have win? Been trying to?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The past couple weeks they have been.
Yeah, against the Dudleys.
That's what I'm saying, against the Dudleys in the storyline. But like they have, you know, Dreamer kick their asses and like have them, you know, it's not like
he took a couple bumps though where he sold
did,
it.
He did, but at the same time.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
He did, but at the same time, just let me get my point out. At the same time, it's still like a 40-something-year-old man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, so are Rowan and fucking Luke Harper.
But what I'm saying is when it comes to Rowan, what bugged me is he actually won clean. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he like snuck in a fucking, you know, small package or anything like that. It was literally just he won clean, which is it made Rowan look weak, which is something you don't want to do right when he first.
Well,
came
I mean, I've already told you how I feel. I'd say fucking get rid of the Wyatt family and just let Bray Wyatt do his whole thing. I don't give a fuck about the Wyatt family.
You get what I'm saying? Though.
I do, but I don't give a fuck.
Whatever. Anyway,
I like Bray Wyatt.
Anyway, this
Wyatt family's boring.
Anyway, that was This Week in Wrestling with a special, you know, inclusion from Pete Miller.
Yeah, local This Week in Wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
Also.
Exactly.
Local ambassador.
The local ambassador, Pete Milk. And next week, if you're lucky, you may just hear from the one, the only Ty the Gatherer again.
If we're lucky. Yeah. If we can get him out of baby jail.
Out of baby jail, yeah. He's doing time in juvie right now. Yeah. He stole some Faygo. but yeah. So we're going to go into the one, the only top 10 list.
Music.
All right, once again, we delve into a top 10 list, and I actually took care of this one all by myself.
I'm curious.
You can just sit back and fucking enjoy this, because it's pretty fucking, I'm pretty proud of this one. The top 10 Fatitude Era t-shirt slogans. So
I wish we could have had people send these in. That would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah, but I just...
You just came up with it today.
Exactly. All right, so number 10, you know the Obey logo?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of Andre the Giant's face, we have Brutus's face.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Obey, it says Diet. Number 9, a quote from one of our lovely co-hosts, the El Hordano Diablo himself. Fuck the insert name here family.
This week it was the Wyatt family.
Number 8 is one after last week that we pretty much have to get. I'm getting sued by the Alpha Fuck. Number 7, this is one I definitely want to get.
Vince, lawyer up.
This is the one I actually absolutely want to get made. Number 7, I heart Thunder Lips.
Oh.
Number 6, hashtag push Hogan.
What? Oh, fuck that. But in the O, there's got to be a swastika.
Exactly. Number 5, we have Kidney Lean's draw up us with belts, championship belts, and it says world championship assholes. World Heavyweight Championship assholes. Number 4, eat, sleep, eat, repeat.
That
I like a lot.
Number three, we take that Dolph Ziggler shirt, stealing the show. Mm-hmm. We change it to stealing your meal.
Stealing your meal. Stealing, or I was thinking of one. Oh, when you said the one about the Obey one, the diet, I was just going to say that when we were coming up with the name for this podcast, one of the options was Diet Family.
Yeah, instead of Wyatt Family. Number two.
Think of that. I forgot about that.
Number two, Hordano 316 says, I just flipped my car. And number one. Our Lord and Savior, Pete Milk, with a halo and a microphone and a banner that says, praise him.
I like that Aww. One a lot.
We're getting that
No,
one
but
made.
It's got to be like, it's. But the artwork's got to be like, it's got to look like that church glass shit.
Exactly.
Stained glass. Stained
yeah.
Glass.
It'll, or that or like one of those fucking old school like paintings. Like when you see a painting of Jesus.
It'll be like Saint Peter, but like just with Pete's face on it. Though.
With Brutus on his back.
Yeah, exactly.
Or no, I'm holding Brutus like a baby Jesus.
Exactly.
There we go. I like that too.
So yeah, that was this week's top 10 list. If you like any of those ideas for fucking t-shirts,
we'll make them.
Yeah, we'll make them. Be sure to get in touch with us at thefatitudeera@gmail.com. Let us know which one you like the most, and we might get it made.
I have like an honorable mention one I just thought of.
Honorable mention from our Lord and Savior. Let's
do
this.
How about this? It's the Fatitude Era like logo, like the one with your guys' like cartoon characters on it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's just underneath it just says ... will be a Facebook post soon.
and on the back, trigger warning.
Hashtag trigger warning.
No, TW.
TW. Hashtag TW. I like it. I like it a lot. I was also going to say, dude, you could have done a Hordano 316 says, fuck that, it's stupid.
Well, that was the thing when I was coming up with them. Like, you know, I guess we could do this because, you know, we said we didn't want an honorable mention. Another honorable mention would just be a picture of you that just says, it's fucking dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then I came up with one just with like the slogan that became our fucking slogan for this week, our tagline.
What?
About the fucking WWE shop and the plus size shirts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I like that.
But yeah, so I use things that I don't end up using.
I like it.
But either way, we're gonna get right back into it, before
and you mean the episode?
Well, yeah, the episode, but before we do that, here's an ad.
Have you seen those logos?
Dude, those logos are sexy.
Logos. We have like three now.
We have three now, and it's all because of one man.
There's cartoons of us, dude.
There's cartoons of us, and they've been done by Adam Paduke, a.k.a. Kidney Leans. And guess what? You can check out his awesome artwork at the one, the only, kidneyleans.com. That's right. This motherfucker has a fucking website.
That's legit as fuck.
You can contact him there. You can get in touch with him. You can check out his designs and choose one that you want to imitate. But guess what? You can't steal ours, bitch.
No, you can't. Can't have it.
So check him out, kidneyleans.com or on Instagram @kidneyleans. Adam Paduke, Kidney Leans, check him out right now. Pause the podcast. Go check him out.
So we're going to try something a little new here in the Fatitude Era this week. We needed a new segment, and we had another email sent to us. I'm surprised this dude even has a fucking phone. But he does have a phone, and he's calling in directly from the ECW arena right under the bleachers. I'm still told that there's no working bathrooms in this place, so let's phone this guy in right now. Adam the Philly Fan.
Thank you, Hordano. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Adam, but you haggard asses can call me the Philly Fan. I'm coming to you live from underneath the bleachers of the ECW arena, giving you all you need to know about Philly Extreme. So I got my paycheck from the Wawa a day early, and it's, you know, because it was Thanksgiving. They just gave it to me. It was so awesome. And I went out and I picked up the new ECW Unreleased Volume 3. Dude, it's so good. It's so good, dude. It's hosted by Joey Styles, Stevie Richards, and the Blue Meanie. He's so fat, he looks like a blueberry. It's so good, dude. They sit there talking between the matches, and it's so rad. But it just made me think of that bullshit that was WWE's version, you know, when they brought it back and shit. It was so stupid. After the first episode, I was so mad. I spent 3 hours breaking bottles behind the Wawa. Listen, so if you got some money, you cheap asses should pick it up. I rate it 4 Yinglings out of 5. It's so good. But let me tell you, I swear, you know, me personally, I've always been a big fan of ECW because, you know, they're straight from Philly, PA, dude. It's so great. It's better than that Schittsburg people, man. Let me tell you. It's so stupid. You know, you got your Steelers, you got your rapist burger and everything like that. It's like, don't go in a bathroom with that guy. You know what I'm saying? Reminds me of my dad. My dad's so fat, he tucks his dick in. It looks like a fat pussy. It's so ridiculous. But seriously, though, like, I, you know, I love being on this show. This is so great. I'm so happy to be here. Hordato, you're such a great dude. You emailed me, like, within minutes. I don't even know how you did. Well, it was probably more than minutes, but, you know, whatever. I don't keep track, man. I'm so drunk, you know. It's so fucking stupid. That's the only way you can enjoy Philly, you know. I go down to Patty's Pub. I get a bunch of fucking beers and shit. They fucking spit at me there. It's fucking stupid. But, you know, I just go back to the Wawa, you know, pick up some tasty cake. It's pretty good. But I gotta go now. I gotta go to work. I'm gonna be late. I'm like 15 minutes late. But luckily, I found a back door into the ECW arena. Nobody's here. It's not bingo night, so nobody's here. But I gotta go to work. But be sure to be on the lookout for my next segment entitled Go Eagles. This is Adam. This is Adam, the Philly fan, saying shit, piss, and dicks out. Have a great day.
And that was Adam the Philly fan, everybody. That was very enjoyable. I can't wait for him to come back.
I was in the bathroom. What happened?
Oh, I have no idea.
Did you?
We talked to the Philly fan, Adam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right on, man.
Was I wish you would have been here for it.
I mean, it's whatever. I'll probably hear it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, because you listen to the episodes.
Exactly. I listen to the episodes.
on SoundCloud and iTunes.
Good insight, Hordato, because I was thinking the same thing.
On SoundCloud, I listen to it at soundcloud.com/ofattitudeera.
Two times a day.
I also subscribe to it on the iTunes app.
The podcaster. Is it? Yeah, I think it's a podcast.
It's just podcasts.
Podcasts, yeah.
Podcasts.
I have it on my goddamn phone, and I don't know what it's called.
When you guys had it up on iTunes...
Mm-hmm.
I went and visited the page because I listen to podcasts pretty religiously, a bunch of different stuff. But I found it and I saw, you know, the logo, and I got pretty proud. I was like, oh, this is pretty great. You know, this is an actual thing. And I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'll subscribe to it. I'm like, the first thing I thought after I subscribed to it, I'm like, Jesus, I hope I'm not the only one.
No, I'm pretty sure I was the first one.
we get excited. We're like, we got a download. I can't believe it. And you're just like, Pizza's yeah, like, just, it was me.
Yeah, it automatically, when you subscribe, it automatically downloads. So we'll just have automatic downloads. It'll be great.
Let me just point for the record. There's someone else in this house. You haven't met him yet, but he's a bastard because he's cooking pizza, and I haven't eaten today.
Well, it looks like you could stand a couple days without eating.
Fatty's getting hungry. Just saying. No, but yeah. So what did the Philly fan have to say?
He was talking about the new ECW DVD that I have not seen yet, but I want to see the unreleased. 3.
I saw it. It's not bad. You should check it out. Yeah. I mean, if I had to give it a rating, I'd say like 4 out of 5.
I mean, they're always that's. He gave it 4 Liberty Bells out of 5 Liberty Bells. Oh,
right on. Right on. That's cool. That's cool.
You'll just have to listen to it to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, but it's actually interesting that you mentioned ECW, because that's actually the topic of this week's episode.
The best fucking wrestling of all time. Hands fucking down, there's no better.
The greatest thing that WWE ever fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. The greatest thing that Eric Bischoff had a very good hand in fucking up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, WWE fucked it up, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, some people might know, Vince kept them afloat for years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We both have very personal experiences when it comes to ECW.
Yep.
And that's probably why we watch the fucking rise and fall of ECW every 3
twice
months.
A week.
Yeah, about every 2 weeks or so. But it's actually interesting because you actually met people from ECW
and then went
to an ECW show like live.
Yeah, I was 10. And my dad used to take me to the hotel where they used to, well, where the WCW guys used to stay, and occasionally the WWF guy, well, WWF at the time, whatever. I don't know. We always, like, either correct that or we don't correct it. I don't know. But we didn't even know that there was going to be an ECW show because it was, like, Thursday night. So all they were in town for Thunder, I believe, WCW was.
Yeah.
Because that was a live show when it first started, I believe. And then it ended up being taped like SmackDown. But, yeah, they were in town for Thursday night, so it was after the WCW show. Friday night at the Masonic Auditorium on the east side, ECW was there. It was their first Cleveland show. I think they only ever did 2 or 3 Cleveland shows.
Yeah.
They might have done 2 more. If so, they were both at the Agora.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I was sitting there, and I believe that was the time that like I was Juventud Guerrera was hanging out like just like in this like one of those hotel chairs, you know, like one of their little lounge areas or whatever. And I saw the Sandman walk in and Raven right behind him. And that was when Raven was actually in WCW, though.
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, did you just see who that was? I was like, fuck, oh my God, yeah. So I like walked up.
And he's like, watch your mouth.
Yeah, my dad says, watch your mouth. So I walk up, they're checking in. Like there's two check-ins at the hotel, and they're at like the one, that the not big one. So I like walk up behind them, and I tapped Raven like on the back, and I was like, I was petrified of that dude because he was fucking scary, man. Like, because I knew him from ECW.
Nevermore.
Yeah, and he's one of my favorites to this day. And I was like, Mr. Raven. And he turns around and he's like, what's up, little man? And I was just like, can I have your autograph? And he's like, absolutely. And I turn and the Sandman's like fucking right there. And I was like, can I have your autograph too? He goes, you know who I am? And I was like, the Sandman, ECW. And he was like, who are you here with? And I was like, my dad. And he was like, where's your dad at? So I like walk him over to my dad, and my dad fucking leaves me. I think it was like with Juventud Guerrera or something. I swear to God, for like 5 minutes, they go and they fucking slam a beer together, and he gives us fucking four box seats at like the Masonic Auditorium. It was like probably 10 feet from the guardrail. And it was like one of the coolest fucking nights ever. I actually just saw the match list from that maybe a month ago. Joel Gertner posted it. And I was just like, holy shit, I was there. And there were some really cool matches. I remember watching Sabu put somebody through a table. And but the main event was the Dudley Boys, which it was obviously Bubba Ray, D-Von, and I want to say it was Big Dick Dudley, I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% positive on that. Versus Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and who am I missing from the three? Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and why can't I fucking... whoever the hell it was.
It was like somebody.
Well, it was like one of the, it's like one of the main ECW originals. I just can't remember which guy it was. Anyway, so.
Was it the franchise?
No.
Or was he already gone?
No, he was, I think he was in WCW at that point, actually. But God, I can't believe I can't remember who it was. Cause it was like RVD was still a bad guy at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember during RVD's match, you know, he's running, Bill Alfonso's running around the ring, blowing his fucking whistle. And I just remember screaming, I was like, hey, Bill. And he like turns around. And I was like, shut up. And he just goes, no. And skis and blowing the whistle. But, the Dudley Boys, like back in the day, for people who did watch ECW or still do, like you and I, like they always did promos. Long ass promos at the beginning of their matches.
Yeah,
they would come out and they'd fuck with the crowd because they were heels. They had a lot of fucking heat. And I remember I was asking my dad if I could flip them off. Oh, New Jack was the last guy.
Okay,
it was New Jack. It was Tommy Dreamer, New Jack, and Sandman.
So you could have, basically what you're saying is you might have seen a double homicide.
Yeah, I could have, absolutely. Yeah. But and this is a very, very, very true story. I'm screaming at the Dudley Boys just like everybody else is. And Bubba Ray is like walking around pointing at people. And I was like, Dad, can I flip him off? And I flipped him off. And he just looks at me and goes, fuck you, you fat little pussy.
Oh my God.
Bubba Ray called me a fat little pussy when I was 10
this
years
one's
old.
For you little bitch.
Exactly, dude. That's why I could not wait until we got to this part of the story. But it was cool, man, because, like, Sandman came, obviously, through, like, the top of this arena and shit. I'm sure he did a walkthrough before every arena they did. But he knew where our seats was, so he came walking right across our balcony and shit and, like, handed my dad a beer. It was pretty fucking cool, man. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. And then they ended up getting there, like, Tommy Dreamer was fighting Big Dick Dudley on a fucking, like, 10-foot, like, balcony thing.
Yeah.
And he's hitting Big Dick Dudley. And Big Dick Dudley just takes Tommy Dreamer and just throws him like 10 feet right off this thing, just like right onto the floor. There was like nothing to break his fall. Like it wasn't like concrete there. It was like wood and carpet and shit, but it was still fucking cool. But they were getting their ass kicked the whole time. And then all of a sudden the lights go out and fucking the head pops out and their strobe lights hit and fucking Al Snow came out and saved the day. It was fucking awesome, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, me personally, you know, I've never had that experience because, let's be honest, with the way my mother was, she took me to WWF Attitude, and she, like, almost shit a brick because she couldn't believe that they were saying hell and bitch and shit like that.
Yeah.
So God only knows what she would do if she came out and had the Dudley saying, fuck you, you fat little pussy. But yeah, basically my experience.
Thanks,
with,
Dad.
My experience with ECW was when I was growing up, we had like two TVs. There was one in my mom's room, and there was one downstairs in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was pretty much always on that one because he always slept in the living room. They didn't have marital issues or anything like right. that. It was just, you know, he was just because he was. When he would come home from work, he wouldn't want to wake up my mom, so he would just sleep on
I'm
the
not
couch.
Your therapist, Jeff. Yeah. Jess, I don't know why I called you Jeff.
And then, I love that you had to clarify that.
And then they called me a disappointment.
And they moved away.
And they never hugged me.
So
my experience with ECW would be at like, you know, because eventually it got to...
You had to be young, man.
Oh, yeah, I was. Because this is like 95, 94, 96, roughly, because I was just starting to get into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like 4 years old, and I saw that, you know, there was promos for ECW and shit, and I'd heard about ECW, and I saw that it was on the fucking TV Guide one night.
Yeah.
And I fucking... It's like my mom was downstairs because it was like 8 o'clock, and she was with my dad because he had just gotten back from work. And I'm sitting there in my mom's room watching fucking ECW. And I felt so fucking like, you know, like I was breaking the law.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Absolutely.
Like, and it was so funny because, like, you know, you got these kids, like, as they grow older, like, because, you know, ECW was on until 2001. You know, so I was.
Well, but the thing was, is back then, like, up until 99, the only TV they had was public access. And the Cleveland areas, the Cleveland-Akron areas, were one of the very few yeah. territories to actually carry it.
Yeah, exactly. And what was so funny, because as it kept going, you know, before it got on TNN and shit, I would just occasionally, like, I would see it, and I would fucking watch it. And it was so funny, because, you know how, like, you like, when you're young and you find something like fucking Nudie Channel or mm-hmm. something like that, and you're sitting there watching it, and you're fucking paranoid that your fucking parents are going to walk in? Mm-hmm. That's how I felt about ECW. You know what I mean? Because, like, you got, like, you know, like, the fucking lesbian storylines and shit like that, and pregnant angles. It's like shit that would never be on fucking WWF.
Never in a million years.
And like, you know, they're saying fuck, and because it was on public access, you know, they didn't have to bleep it out and shit. It was so funny because it literally, you know, like as I got older, I started watching porn. But anyway, but yeah, when I was a kid, man, it was literally sitting there watching ECW, listening for my parents on the fucking staircase. So if they came in, I could just fucking switch it to Cartoon
yep.
Network.
Yep.
You know, it was so fucking
I mean,
funny.
That, yeah, I mean, that's just like the first like introduction to ECW I ever had was because they would play it at like 4 a.m. sometimes, like on public access.
Yeah.
My dad owned a cleaning business, so he was always working super late, like overnight and shit. I remember one time at like 4 a.m, my dad comes in and he wakes me up. He goes, "You gotta see this." And he takes me downstairs, and this is probably like 95, I think, something like that, maybe 96. And he was taping it, and it was Sabu versus, I don't remember who it was, but it was Sabu. And I saw him for the first time do the Arabian face buster.
Yeah.
It went like through a table, and I was just like, oh, this is what's up.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I was like, this is what's fucking good. Because at that time, like 96, that was like when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels were the two guys, and everything was like still very like, you know, that's when they still had like gold dust before. Yeah, like it was all like that stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was like right before Razor. That was actually right before the NWO
yeah.
like started. Yeah. And so
it's just, you know, it's baffling because like, Pete, are you familiar with ECW at all?
Very minimally. All the names and everything and the era of it
yeah.
It brings back a little memories. I honestly, the most that I had watched. was the Attitude Era,
yeah.
like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. That's,
yeah, that's
like
understandable.
I was like most dedicated to it.
Well, and that's the thing. When it comes to ECW, it's not for everybody. And that's actually was one of their slogans on their T-shirt
yeah.
because it really wasn't like this. There was little to no rules. Like pretty much every match was a no disqualification
yeah.
match, and they would do shit. There's a fucking great spot. I think it's Dreamer going through like on the scaffolding match.
Oh yeah, versus. Primetime Brian
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah, yeah. They're on top of this fucking scaffolding. And meanwhile, you have like, I think, what, 20 tables stacked
yeah,
up?
Yeah.
And fucking Dreamer just throws them off and he goes fucking flying
fucking
through.
Fucking hits the
all
turnbuckle.
These tables. And like, dude, and that's the thing. There was a lot of fucking blood. They fucking. It was literally like the, if The Shining, you know, the movie The Shining, when the fucking elevators open and shit, like that amount of blood. Like, Jesus. There was there's actually a fucking and they were proud of it too. There's a DVD that's out that WWE actually put out called Bloodsport.
Yeah, I have that one.
And it's like the top bloodiest ECW matches. And there's this one match between Sabu and I think Terry Funk, the barbed wire match. And fucking at one point, Sabu gets wrapped up in barbed wire.
Real barbed wire, not rubber tipped barbed wire. Yeah. Fucking barbed wire.
Real barbed wire and tears his fucking bicep open, dude.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
And like he's
you know what
there,
he does?
He fucking tapes it up and keeps going.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's sitting there and he's still taking bumps and shit.
He's the toughest wrestler to ever wrestle.
And he's sitting there and he's just completely like taping up his arm. And by the end of it, he goes through an entire roll of fucking tape.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. And it's so funny because Jordan's actually wearing a Sabu shirt right now.
It's just when it's funny because like Terry Funk's still trying to sell in the match.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes and he does something to Sabu, and Sabu takes this bump and then immediately just rolls over and keeps fucking rolling up his arm.
It's the no-sell. It's the no-sell of the decade.
And it's just like, I mean, he doesn't have to sell shit. He just ripped his fucking bicep out of his arm pretty much.
And that's the thing, you know, we owe fucking ECW for what it became. You know, because originally it was just Eastern Championship Wrestling, nothing too special.
Until 94.
We owe all of that to fucking Paul Heyman because they seceded from the NWA in 94.
Well, Paul Heyman and Todd Gordon. I mean, Todd Gordon, for sure.
But I'm saying, like, they did that. But I'm saying it was Paul. The only people that knew about it. The only people that knew about it were Paul, the franchise, and fucking Todd Gordon. And it was just, it's the craziest moment. And Pete, I recommend you get on the network and watch fucking Rise and Fall of ECW.
Yeah. I'll just let you borrow it. I have the DVD. It tells it a fantastic story.
Yeah, and then if you ever want the complete story, you should check out Forever Hardcore on fucking YouTube. Yeah,
that's another good one.
Yeah, and that's like getting, you know, fucking interviews from people that, you know, WWE didn't interview.
Yeah, that they didn't want.
It's crazy. Well, they didn't want, or they, you know, they
couldn't get or whatever.
But it's
if I can find the time for it, yeah, I'd love to.
Dude, it's worth it. It's like literally like if you ever got like two and a half hours to kill, you know what I mean? Like where you're just like, oh, I could watch Inception or I could watch this. Watch fucking Rise and Fall of ECW. You know what I'm saying? Like it's definitely worth it. But it's basically what happened was Shane Douglas won the NWA title. You know, this fucking,
who's like their top guy.
Their top guy, and this title had history going back like 100 years. And he proceeded to basically,
He won it
and then gave a fucking awesome promo.
One of the best promos of all time.
And he's sitting there and he listed off all these great fucking wrestlers. He goes,
Ric Flair,
Bruno Sammartino and everything.
Terry Funk, Bruno Sammartino.
Well, he didn't say Terry Funk because Terry Funk was involved.
He
was involved with the company.
And then what was, he says Ric Flair. Oh, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
And he just goes, and they can all kiss my
ass. And he throws it down on the fucking ground.
Which is like something you don't fucking do.
Yeah,
but
it's basically like to wrestling organizations that would be the same if you shit on the American flag
or like pissed in the Stanley Cup or something,
in, you know what I mean, in
what,
front of like
on the mic.
No, throwing. He threw it on the belt. He spit on it and threw it on the belt.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Right after he won it.
And it was so funny because there's this great interview. You can see it on the Rise and Fall of like this dude from the NWA. They're sitting there, they're interviewing him, trying to get his like thoughts on what happened.
And he's
like,
this dude from New York.
He's like, Shane Douglas, I can't believe he did that. He threw the belt down. He shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean?
Like, he just sounds like a mad little kid.
He's like, it's not fair. He threw the belt down. And it's so funny because anytime me and Jordan watch that together, I sit there for like 10 minutes after that happens.
And
I just sit there going, you threw the belt down, man. That wasn't cool. You threw the belt down. You know,
100%.
New t-shirt idea. He threw the belt down.
Trigger warning. He threw the
it's
belt
funny,
down.
It's funny how when I was younger, it was probably the heyday of me paying attention to it. And even then, it was very sparse.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's funny how much of like a 360 turn it's made, like wrestling in general is made, like among friends and just paying attention to it and kind of like, oh, it's like one of those things, like if it gets in your life, you start paying attention to it more, you see it more.
Yeah.
But like from like, you know, seeing like Adam, Kidney Leans, and like some of our friends like getting back into it and like watching it religiously, and you guys as well, and now recording this podcast to me, even fucking going to a independent wrestling match, like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous how it's like it's trying to take me back in, but I like, no offense, I think this is awesome and fun, but I really don't give a shit.
Hey, it's for some people, it's not for some people. Well, and it's like, but anything else,
you know, and that's the thing, it's hard when you think about it, because like, when you're a kid, you're watching wrestling for the characters. When you're an adult, you watch it for the matches.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? The characters are just an added bonus. Like, for example, I fucking love me some Bray Wyatt, but I will rather, and he's great on a promo, but I love watching him in the ring more.
Yeah, he's really good,
you know, because he's really good in the ring. And that's the thing, as you grow older, you know, because you know it's, you know, kayfabe, it's all bullshit. Yeah. But at the same time, you can respect these athletic talent. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, that's like the one thing that I noticed when I was at the AIW. Like, some of the matches, like, this is like very, very, like, this is awesome. This
yeah.
is very good. Very, everyone's very athletic. It's very well planned.
Well, yeah.
And that's a huge thing about ECW. That it was, they used these storylines to tell these other stories in the ring. And I mean, they had guys like, I mean, you could just fucking name off a million of them. Like, just dudes who are just amazing professional wrestlers. You got Rob Van Dam, Sabu, who is, like, more on the extreme side, obviously, but still a good, just good professional wrestler.
But even Taz.
Taz. I mean, Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking just incredible. Steve Corino.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho was from there. I mean, well, he's from...
But he was in it.
Yeah, he was in it for a minute. Eddie Guerrero.
Chris Benoit,
Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, like dudes who are just
Dreamer.
Like, well, I wouldn't call him one of the like best professional wrestlers. The dude was just great in ring.
And to me, well, and that's, you know, then you're getting into a whole different debate where, you know, is a good professional wrestler someone who's fun to watch, or is someone who's very technical?
Yeah, I get.
You know what I mean? Because
there's different aspects.
Well,
to
yeah,
it.
Exactly. I mean, there's, you know, people say Bret. Oh, sorry. Cut that out. People say that Bret Hart is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Absolutely.
He is on a technical sale. Wasn't that great at doing promos?
No.
But then you have someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin, amazing at doing a promo. Pretty decent in the ring, but he's not one of the greatest wrestlers. His finishing move is simple.
Yeah, definitely one of the best finishers of all time, but not something that they're going to teach you in, you know, the Hart Family Dungeon or like Lance Storm's Wrestling Academy. He's not going to teach you how to do a stunner. Anybody can do a fucking stunner.
I can do a stunner.
The talent in a stunner is taking it.
That's taking it and selling
reacting to it, I feel like. Because there were a couple stunners that happened last weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It always blows my mind that people use that move. It's like, that move is one dude's fucking move.
Well, I feel like that's kind of disrespectful.
Well, that's the same. It's the same as, like, you see indie kids doing the fucking people's elbow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, that's The Rock's move.
Well, that's the thing. Not to mention, it's one of the least effective finishers of all time.
Yeah, just like Hogan's leg drop, dude.
I think with wrestling, it goes with the same as any other sport, and I like am realizing that everyone's gonna have their strengths, everyone's gonna have their weaknesses, and it all contributes to like a final form. I mean,
absolutely,
you could be really good in the ring, or you could be good at cutting a promo. I mean, it depends on A, how you want your character to be or be perceived, and how much work you want to put into it. If you want to be, I mean, there were guys there that didn't talk at all and were just flying through the air, fucking ripped 8-packs, fucking doing backflips, like, and it was super entertaining. But they just didn't talk, which is fine.
That was the thing with ECW. You know, another thing is nowadays WWE seems to be all about it, where they hire people that are not your typical looking wrestlers.
Yeah,
and that was everything that ECW was about. I forget who says it on the DVD. I think it's Dreamer. Mentioned that the locker room at ECW was referred to as the Island of Misfit Toys because it was, basically just where, you know, it was for the guys that nobody else wanted.
Yeah.
But they were still very talented.
Well, I mean, look at Rhino, dude. Look how small he is.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. It was, you know, these guys were too small. And it was so funny because when, in the 90s, when they invaded, they invaded Raw. ECW actually.
I remember that.
Yeah, yep. They invaded Raw. And fucking Jerry the King Lawler says, he's sitting there looking at Taz and he goes, he looks a lot bigger on the Lucky Charms box. But dude, it's Lawler. Just, you know what I mean? It's when it comes to ECW, you know, I mean, you're always in for something that's going to make you say, wow. You know what I mean?
I mean, if there's anybody who does listen to this that isn't familiar with the product, if you want to see the thing that changed wrestling, that brought on the Attitude Era, that gave you your number one Attitude Era star,
yeah,
was Stone Cold Steve Austin, came from ECW.
Yeah. And I bet Pete didn't know that.
Yeah. Nope, no idea.
Yeah. So
he got fired from WCW. Okay,
so for a while, Steve Austin was actually in WCW. He was in there as Stunning Steve Austin. And then he joined up with Brian Pillman as a tag team called the Hollywood Blondes. And the Hollywood Blondes broke up, and he was doing singles competition. He became United States champion. Mm-hmm. I think it was against Steamboat.
I don't even know.
Anyway, so he gets fired from Eric Bischoff over the phone. And he's sitting there, he's pissed off in Texas. All of a sudden, he gets a call from Paul Heyman. And he says, hey, Steve, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I'm just sitting here, got fired. You know? He goes, you want to talk about it? Oh, yeah. You want to talk about it on the air? Well, how am I supposed to do that? I have a TV show.
Come on and air your grievances. Yeah, Paul Heyman tells that story in the Rise and Fall of ECW, which this is pretty... All this episode is going to be is pretty much a fucking commercial for the Rise and Fall of ECW. Yeah. But, I mean, so he goes on there, and he does these promos where he does these characters where he's fucking mocking Hulk Hogan, he's mocking Eric Bischoff, he's mocking Mongo McMichael.
He's mocking Hulk Hogan, like different context, but like pretty much on the level that we were in episode 3.
Just like, totally doesn't give a shit, fuck that guy, like the whole thing.
He imitates, like the first promo he cuts, he imitates Dusty Rhodes, and he's just like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when Eric Bischoff called me and fired me over the phone, you know, they were treating me like garbage, and you know, I would say, hey, what about this thing with Hulk Hogan, man? I have this thing where I could be the Steve-O-Maniac, and he'd say, nah, baby, that's for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, dude, he would just cut these promos where he was playing different characters, and it's pretty much like, it's funny because it was about, I'd say, a year and a half to 2 years before he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, because once he got hired by WWF, he was the ringmaster, and he just kind of was like a quiet character, kind of like he was in WCW, and then I'm sure Paul said to Vince, or Vince saw it, or Steve said to Paul, and he was just like, look at these promos I did, and they just let him fucking run wild after that.
Yeah.
I mean, when he won King of the Ring, one of the biggest moments in wrestling ever.
Yeah, but
Austin 316 says, I just whipped your ass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but at the same time, he wasn't supposed to win that.
Oh, yeah, because didn't...
Triple H was supposed to win it, and then the click happened.
Yeah, and they fucked the Triple H for a while.
Yeah, the curtain
call. Actually, not even really that long, though, because when he came back with DX, like...
Yeah, but at the same time, it was still the curtain call, like, fucked him royally.
Oh, yeah, because Sean left shortly after. That was when he couldn't find his smile.
Yes.
And Hall and Nash were gone.
Yeah.
And so that left Triple H to take the fucking brunt. But, like we've talked about before... Triple H won. I mean, Triple H fucking won that battle. He's banging Vince's daughter. He's going to take over the company. So
No. He's not going to take it over. He knows he's going to take it over.
Shane, hopefully.
No, Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Oh. Nah, but seriously, man, I recommend you check it out, Pete, because it's definitely interesting just to hear the stories.
Well, and it's just cool because they go into they talk about like everything about how it wasn't just about the violence. It wasn't just about the stories. It wasn't just about the wrestling. It was about all of it. It was about the fans. It was about... I was actually reading up on shit today that a lot of ECW stuff, they did it mostly at the first 3 or 4 years, they did it all in this one arena. Well, for the most part, in this one arena in Philly. And they nicknamed it the ECW Arena because that's all that pretty much happened there anymore.
Except for bingo.
Yeah, it was like a bingo hall. And I was reading today that they used to sell season because they weren't televised, they couldn't. It was hard for them to tell storylines. So for them to tell storylines, they would sell season tickets. Like, you know, you can get into these 8-string of shows for X amount of dollars, and then you could see the story from beginning to end, which is fucking cool.
That aspect of it, because I was actually speaking with my one friend, Pete, who is very, very much like neck deep in wrestling of all kinds. And he was saying, like, in the AIW stuff like that, it's involved. There's drama, there's storylines, you know, they have their own facet of everything, which in the indie aspect of it, I think that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It, you know, opens it up to have, you know, like a real fan base. Because it's like, you know, they do a show like, what, once a month roughly?
Yeah. I would assume so, yeah.
Or like
yeah.
twice a month. But like, you know, you got these people that like, how are you going to do a storyline? By you got to make it interesting. You got to make it something like worth doing. Yeah. And that was another thing that fucking Paul Heyman knew how to do. When they were doing storylines, like for example, they did the first ever lesbian storyline.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that is something that's going to hook anybody. You know what I mean?
Especially back then.
Especially back then when it wasn't nearly as accepted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, it was accepted and everything, because who doesn't love girl-on-girl action? But trigger warning.
Who doesn't love guy-on-guy action? Come on, man.
Me? But seriously, though, like, it was just crazy, because it was the first ever lesbian storyline, and then they also had the storyline about Raven taking over, like, pretty much taking Sandman's kid from him,
yeah,
and sitting there and like brainwashing him to make him think that like he's responsible for their parents' divorce and shit. It's like that shit that you never would touch on,
yeah,
you
know, right.
At least until way after the Attitude Era, because right. you know after the Attitude Era we had shit like the Katie Vick storyline where you had Triple H pretending to fuck a corpse. But
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, we all do. If you can see it, like, you can't see it at home, but Jordan is shaking his head. So hard right now.
We're not fucking talking about WWE and all the bad fucking decisions they made.
But yeah, I mean, it's so crazy thinking about.
I mean, know. They did though. I mean, dude, Paul Heyman is single. I mean, obviously WWE took it to a much broader scale and toned it down quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it weren't for Paul Heyman and the shit that he pulled. There's no fucking way that we would have ever gotten the Attitude Era.
And what's a damn shame, though, is fucking Paul Heyman got so fucked over by Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff. Because they immediately, when they started getting good talent, they started having excellent fucking, you know, ratings on public access. Fucking Eric Bischoff comes in and steals two of their, like three of their prime guys, actually.
No, dude, he stole Rey Mysterio.
No, but I'm saying at once. He stole three of them at once. He stole Dean Malenko, he stole Rey Mysterio, and he stole Chris Benoit. No, it was actually, Rey dude, Mysterio was after.
At the whole time. Who he took first?
Eddie Guerrero.
Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn. Then he took all the Luchas.
And then he took Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's crazy. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think, Paul doesn't hold as much against Vince because Vince kept them afloat for a long time. Yeah,
Vince actually had money in the company.
Yeah.
And it was just a small
amount. And didn't expect anything back.
Exactly.
And he just wanted to be able to pick the best talent he could.
Yeah.
And I feel that was more than a fair deal.
Yeah.
Whereas Eric Bischoff was just coming in, offering these dudes
$6 million
contracts for, you know, however long, because they had Time Warner fuck you money.
Yeah.
And who's, you know, you get a guy from Mexico who's 18 fucking years old, who's working for pennies on the dollar down there. Paul Heyman gives him a chance to go make a little bit more money up in Philly. And then you got Eric Bischoff like, well, I'll give you this much.
Yeah.
And of course they're going to be like, well, bye.
And Eric Bischoff doesn't think that he did anything wrong.
Eric Bischoff.
But as Paul Heyman says on the DVDs, Eric Bischoff is full of shit.
Yeah, it's a direct quote, and it's so funny. Because like they do it, it's like they're interviewing Eric Bischoff, and he's like, I know that Paul thinks we stole his talent. We didn't steal his talent. And they immediately cut to fucking Paul Heyman, and it's fucking...
Eric Bischoff is full of shit.
It's so good.
And it's so great because it's completely uncensored because it was like...
They rated it TVMA because they wanted it to be like ECW.
ECW thing. Yeah. And it was so funny because like... And if you're watching fucking wrestling DVDs and you're not used to that, it shocks you the first time when you hear Paul Heyman talk about WCW and he's like, I basically told them to go fuck themselves when they were treating people like shit. And you're just like, whoa! You know?
Yeah, dude, it's pretty cool because... Paul Heyman can, even though he drove ECW into the ground because he was just running on fumes at that point, like,
yeah.
he's the best thing that ever happened to professional wrestling without a fucking doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as they got in their later years, like once they got their pay-per-view deals and shit, and then, because I remember, I think the first pay-per-view was in April of 97, and we started, because they did them every other month. That's how ECW used to do theirs. My dad, once we got hooked on it, we ordered every fucking pay-per-view. It was awesome.
You got the Barely Legal t-shirt. Yeah, yeah. You bought the Barely Legal pay-per-view.
Yep. It was really cool because we also, that was when we moved to Akron, and we had the public access channel so we could watch the hardcore TV because that was their show, and then we got the pay-per-views every other month, and it was awesome. It was always the best. I always looked forward to it, like, you know, because they were like $20. That one was when WWE's, WCW's were like $30, $35.
Yeah.
ECW's were $20. And so my dad was like, well, we can get these every other month. You know, they're cheaper and it's a better show. I mean, like the first time you see Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow go through the fucking walkway.
Yeah.
Like the box the
walkway and then the ring.
I mean, dude, like I just remember watching that like, what? Or the first time I saw Bubba Ray dragging somebody, I can't even remember who it was, might have been Spike Dudley, dragging him through the arena, beating the shit out of him. Spike Dudley's bleeding profusely. Bubba Ray takes his hand, wipes it on Spike Dudley's head, and then just puts blood all over his own face. It's just like, this is fucking primal, disgusting, fucking amazing entertainment.
And he did it all in a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, then, you know, later on, when they got the TNN deal and they just got fucked, and that was the beginning of the end for them. And it's still, in my opinion, the greatest wrestling promotion that ever fucking graced this planet.
But yeah, in summation of ECW, you know, I mean, you know, we'll get more into it, but I think it could all be summed up in one word, and that is amazing.
Yeah.
Extreme, if you will.
Yeah, extreme, but I mean, just, I mean, it has every aspect of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
In its best possible
form. And you know what? Eric Bischoff didn't think so, but Eric Bischoff is full of shit.
And we will be back after this message.
What's up, guys? It's Bam Margera here, and I'm here to tell you about this awesome haggard-ass band called World's Scariest Police Chasers.
Right across the way, dude. Pittsburgh, PA.
Dude, we're in Westchester right now. We're talking about this haggard-ass band, dude. They make CKY look like Don Vito's asshole. It's so awesome. You heard that song at the beginning, and you're going to hear it again at the end. It's a pretty awesome song called I Had a Time. It's so haggard. It's off their album NoFX, and out come the wolves dookie. Dude, it reminds me of the time that Dunn shoved a car up his ass. It's so awesome. But seriously, check them out at lockandkeyco.bandcamp.com. It's so fucking haggard, dude.
I don't have time for these reindeer games.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era, for the last time. I am Jackknife Jess Smith.
El Hordano Diablo.
And we're continuing to talk about the greatest thing WWE have ever fucked up, ECW. When we last left off, we were talking about the pay-per-views and, you know, the slow descent into madness and bankruptcy.
Yeah, because they got, I mean, they got their deal with TNN, which, I mean, I think the only time... And I think this is the only time Vince McMahon did fuck ECW big time was TNN, which is now Spike TV for people who don't remember that or who didn't know that, used to be called TNN, and they signed ECW to a TV deal. I believe they signed them to like a 2-year deal or something like that. And
it was 3 years, actually.
Was it 3 years? Yeah. And it didn't last 3 years, that's for sure, because it started in late 99 and only went to May of 2000, I think, something like that.
2001.
Was it that long? Because I remember, dude, it was on Friday nights, and my Friday night was because I was so happy that ECW was on cable, and like it was definitely a little better production and shit. But like at that time, though, I guess I can just tell the end of that really quick. It's just like towards so they signed this deal with ECW in 99, and then WWE came along, WWF came along and fucking stole a deal out from under them, and TNN was not promoting ECW's television show at all. Yeah. Not even a little bit. They were actually promoting the show that was on after it. If you remember what that was, it was a trampoline basketball show. I'm not fucking making that up. It was fucking terrible. And they would promote.
Are you talking about Is it Slam Ball?
Yeah, dude.
I remember that.
Yeah, they used to promote Slam Ball, but they would not promote ECW on TNN.
They wouldn't even say after ECW.
Yeah, not. It was just, it was fucking pathetic and it was sad. But WWE came in and then they were on TNN, what was it, for like 4 years after that? Four or five years after that. Yeah. And obviously TNN promoted the shit out of that. They just, that's when Vince McMahon fucked Paul Heyman royally.
And then the only way he decided to make up for it was say, hey, Paul, come work for me. Instead of being the person that's the head of the company, come work for me.
I mean, the best thing, I mean, and it's not like it would ever happen, but the best thing that Vince could have done was let ECW run, keep letting Paul run it. Just give him the money to do it. Yeah. At that point, it's not your competition, and you can still, that's your developmental territory right there, you fucking alpha fucking douchebag.
And that was the thing. They ECW shuts down, Paul Heyman goes to work for them, they do the shitty invasion angle, and then 4 years later, they decide, oh, you know what would be a good idea? An ECW reunion. And it was.
Yep.
It was one of the greatest pay-per-views in history.
You know whose idea that was?
I wonder.
Rob Van Dam.
Exactly. But seriously, it was just, it's one of the best pay-per-views WWE ever put out, and it's just perfect. And then they fucked that up, too, with the next 2 years. They decided to bring in actual WWE superstars, which made no fucking sense. But it was pretty great watching John Cena lose his title to Rob Van Dam.
At the Hammerstein Ballroom to Rob Van Dam, which is, that's a huge thing. Because what sucks is, like, the first one, when they did it, I mean, the first one is so reminiscent of ECW. Yeah. And granted, they brought in a WWE angle with like the whole SmackDown and Raw invasion and shit. Thing. And JBL was fucking wasted. And
he beat the shit out of Blue Meanie.
Yeah, he's a fucking... JBL's a douchebag. John Bradshaw's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And he... So they did that whole thing. But the first one, that first one that we were just talking about is like, it's so reminiscent. And is what it is. It is what ECW was, but what sucked is RVD was recovering from a knee injury and it was his idea and he couldn't fucking wrestle on it.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And then they decided to bring it back on Sci-Fi as a new brand, which they decided to turn into a developmental territory. CM Punk came from that.
Right.
But, oh God, it was so bad. Dude,
I remember my dad telling me, he was like, they're bringing, because I had kind of fallen off at that point. I was like so done with it.
It's understandable. I mean, like, that was around the time that, you know, like Eddie died and everything like that.
Cena was becoming the top guy.
The face. Yeah. Like, he went from being like a super heel to a super face. Yeah. But what ended up happening was.
Remember his stupid fucking raps he used to do?
Yeah. Oh God. But, he made a whole album of them. But ECW comes back on Sci-Fi, and the first episode, they have a fucking zombie come out. You don't remember that, do you?
Are you not talking about, like, the boogeyman, are you?
No, I'm talking about a fucking zombie.
No.
All right, they have a zombie come out, they give him a mic, and he sits there going, "Aah!" right? And the commentator's like, oh, that's riveting. Oh, yeah, totally. And
didn't Joey Styles commentate it for a minute, and then he was like, "Fuck,
yeah,
this.
Exactly." But what ended up happening was the zombie comes out, does his shtick, and then Sandman comes in, beats the living fuck out of it, and that became like the Sandman, his only role really in ECW. He didn't really wrestle much,
really wrestle much in the original ECW. He just fucking beat people up.
But what I'm saying is, you know, now it was literally just a character like a fucking wrestling zombie or a wrestling vampire or something like that would come out. Sandman would beat the shit out of him. It was the stupidest fucking thing.
Like Kevin Thorne, remember his character? Like, he was like a goth. He was pretty much like a 6'5" Gangrel, pretty much is what he was. Yeah. It was just, I mean, like, I remember my dad telling me, like, oh, it's coming back. And I'm like, no, it's not. Yeah. I all the stuff you read online, and I totally agree with it, is like, Vince brought it back to kill it.
Exactly.
That's why he did it, which is just so fucked up.
And it, you know what's funny? It backfired on him, because the minute fucking Tommy Dreamer came into the Raw a week ago, mm-hmm. Immediately you just heard ECW.
Oh, dude, when the Dudley Boys came back, what, month and a half ago?
Yeah.
2 months ago at this
point?
It was in August. That was already that long ago?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, we had to sit through two pay-per-views of them jobbing for the fucking
New
Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, but hey, by the way, their segment was fucking hilarious.
But the fucking unicorn looked like strap-on
dildos. Oh, it totally did. I mean, but seriously, I cannot speak highly enough about the New Day. They are fucking funny, dude.
Yeah.
They're the funniest thing on the show, and like they're supposed to be. Yeah. And I'm glad it's not like a fucking joke. But another thing I want to touch on ECW that we didn't touch on was their broadcaster, Joey fucking Styles.
Yeah.
Rarely had another guy or another person with him commentating, and he would call. He was the color commentator and the play-by-play guy at the same fucking time.
It was like schizophrenia. It's almost like, you know, like,
oh my God!
It's almost like the host of a podcast also playing a character or something. It's crazy.
Dude, he seriously is. I mean, he, in my opinion, you can say JR, you can say
Jerry,
you can say Vince. Vince was a great play-by-play guy. Nobody, in my opinion, especially just because of how Joey did it by himself, nobody fucking touches that dude.
And with, now, on top of that, you know, for a while, like ECW was pretty much never live. And it was great because you could just imagine him sitting in Paul Heyman's fucking basement,
mm-hmm.
just fucking sitting there with a mic by himself, reacting, just going, oh my God! You know what I mean? Like, I just imagine that. But it's so funny because, you know, Joey Styles, he was not trained on commentary.
No.
And he just did it. And now he still works for WWE.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, behind the scenes. And I think he has a lot to do with, like, the stuff they do with ECW. Like I mean, he does all, like, the... Anytime there's, like, an ECW, DVD, it's either him and Paul Heyman.
Well, I mean, that's only fitting.
Oh, no, it shouldn't be anybody else. Who hosted the first Unreleased with him?
I don't remember.
Because I know Tommy did the second one.
It's been a while since I watched it.
So. I haven't seen the first one, like, since it came out. But
either way, I mean, you know, I've seen the third one. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've heard.
Yeah, I've heard. I heard all about it.
Yeah. But, I don't know, man. In terms of ECW, you know, I'm glad that we have what we have from them, and it's really awesome that it's on the network. But at the same time, I personally think, even though I love ECW shit, I'm wearing an ECW shirt right now.
I'm wearing a Sabu shirt.
Yeah. fucking, my opinion is that it does ruin, like, some wrestling for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And what's funny is it was not well accepted in the wrestling community. A lot of people hated what they were doing. Oh, Jim Cornette has famously spoke against it. Yeah. And it's not that he didn't... It's not that he didn't like... Not like he had an issue with the people doing it.
Right.
He just thought that, like,
He makes a very, very good point. He does.
And basically his point is that, you know, they're sitting there and they're putting their bodies through hell for little to no money
and trying to sell a believable show.
And then, but at the same time, it also ruins, you know, I mean, you're sitting there going, okay, let's say a brutal spot, like Bray Wyatt going through the table last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like sitting there, you're just like, well, he'll get up from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if he sells it, you're just sitting there like, I've seen a dude go through 20 tables in a scaffolding
and
match
get up.
And get up. You know what I mean? It just, it does ruin shit, you know, for, you know, other wrestling companies.
It does.
And I think that was another reason that, you know, Vince maybe wanted to kill it when he brought it back, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think he hates the fact that guys like us love it so much and will never stop loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never going to get rid of people. Because it's funny now, because like when Tommy Dreamer comes out and, you know, people start chanting ECW, it's funny because a lot of, like, the whole crowd's chanting it for the most part. I bet half the people have never fucking seen it before, but they know what it is.
Yeah.
They know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's crazy, you know. Nowadays, I mean, you know, Vince McMahon goes ahead and fucks it up. But luckily, because of that man we were just talking about, Tommy Dreamer, we have something that, very similar.
Very similar.
And that's House of Hardcore.
And it's been done. I mean, it's been done on and off for the last 14 years. Shane Douglas did his stuff. And, like, there's been occasional promoters who get ECW reunion shows together. But what, House of Hardcore is on, like, 12 or 13 now?
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Tommy's doing it. And that's, there's nobody better. If Paul Heyman's not going to do it, there's nobody better.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. Like, Tommy, you know, the amount of money that fucking Paul owed him was like 50 grand. Yeah. Or no, 100 grand. It was 100 grand. Owed him 100 grand, and he still was willing to die for that company.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. When it comes down to it, I don't think, you know, people always say that Paul, you know, ECW is about Paul Heyman. Fuck that. It's about Tommy Dreamer.
So, I mean, it's that's the thing, dude. It's not about one thing, I don't think.
Yeah, but when
it's about everything, man.
To me, the person that sums up...
He's the heart and soul. I mean, they call him every week on WWE programming now. Yeah. He's the heart and soul of ECW.
Yeah, but literally, that's when I think of ECW, I think of Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't get me wrong, Paul Heyman's up there, but Paul Heyman has done so much with his career now that it's like people just remember ECW as a footnote in his career.
Yeah.
You know, people always thinking about, you know, when he represented CM Punk or now that he's representing Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know, or...
That's what he'll be known for.
Exactly.
Or what he is known
for. And this is what's great, because people are going to look back and say, you know what, Paul Heyman, like as they grow up, they're going to be like, that dude's really good on the mic. He really is good as a heel. And it's like, you know, people will say like, well, he had his own company at some point.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
And they'll go back and watch it. Dude. And you know what? That's what I'm looking forward to is 10 years from now, kids are going to be starting to talk about like this. About
ECW. Absolutely. I mean, dude, fucking Heyman at One Night Stand when he comes out and does his promo midway through the show. And he point like, because like, it's well known that like a lot of those, Eric Bischoff, JBL, a lot of those dudes that were there, Kurt Angle, fucking hated ECW and hated Paul Heyman. What does Paul do in the middle of his show? Walks right out there and starts talking shit. And he points at fucking JBL and he goes, the only reason you were ever champion is because Triple H didn't want to work Mondays. And like, everybody just was like, oh my God, I can't believe he just that whole promo, dude. Like when he gets choked up and shit.
Yeah.
And then he just starts motherfucking all those dudes.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman's a god.
I think that's a good summation.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman's a god. Fucking Tommy Dreamer is Jesus Christ.
And Sabu is the devil.
No, Sabu is the devil. And let's say, well, the Dudley Boys got to be demons.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'd say that, I don't know, I guess Taz is the Holy Spirit, maybe?
I guess.
Sandman would be the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Drunk Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirits.
Taz. Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
Oh, you wanted it to be funny.
That's great. Oh, that's fucking great.
The Holy Spirits.
The Holy Spirits.
Dude, I want that to be... We gotta fucking hit up Pro Wrestling Tees and be like, new Sandman shirt idea. We don't want any money. We just want
credit one. To the Fatitude Era. Just be like the Fatitude Era design shirts. Just have the Trinity, the ECW Trinity.
That would be fucking amazing, dude. That would be so sweet.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
You could just put it on the back of it. You could put when they crucified Sandman, when Raven crucified Sandman. You could just have a drawing of that. Adam, draw up the shirt that we're talking about. Fucking text me tomorrow and we're doing that.
Well, tomorrow would be Friday because this will be up Thursday.
I know. I'm going to tell him text me Friday. I need a couple days to drink my brain away.
Just throw the transparency right out the fucking window.
Kayfabe. Yeah. Kayfabe's dead.
Kayfabe is not on their show, apparently. You just ruined it. You just sold us down the river. We're fucked.
I'll be honest. Ty the Gatherer is not actually 11.
No.
He's 12 now. His birthday was last week.
And his party was awesome.
It was awesome. There was three rings for 3 liters.
I got diabetes.
No, but and that's the one thing I do want to congratulate. My man, the Lord and Savior, Pete fucking Milk, is 1 year clean from cigarettes today. So let's give it up for him.
Oh, thank you.
Clap.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what's funny?
You're every time free, I see so we gave you the clap.
Every time I see him when I'm drunk, I'm like, Pete, you want a cigarette? So I'm like, I'm a dickhead. I don't do it on purpose.
You're an enabler.
I'm an enabler. It's funny, I still get people come up to me and be like, I was such a heavy smoker for like 9 years, and people still come up to me like, can I get a cigarette? I'm like, no, I've been like almost a year now.
Dude, I remember that one night when we sat out on the porch at our friends that used to live in this house on the east side, and I was like, right when I moved back from Kalamazoo, and me and Pete got fucking annihilated on the front porch,
and I just fell asleep on the front porch.
And we were smoking cigarettes just like habitually, not
watching Captain Kangaroo,
only going inside to get beer.
Oh yeah,
good night.
Way fun.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's crazy to think about, like, Yeah, I'm a hardcore smoker, so yeah. I'm never going to stop because I'm a telemarketer. So I need a smoke.
I'm not going to talk about quitting smoking, even though I'm probably going to do it in the next year.
Well, maybe next time when you make that comment, you can talk directly in the mic.
Yeah, well, fuck you too.
Because literally it sounds like you're halfway across the room when you do it this way.
Now I know what that sounds like.
Exactly.
Fuck you. I'm sorry. I'm watching somebody play hockey on TV. It's pretty cool.
And who is that somebody?
It's
Ty the Gatherer.
It's Ty the Gatherer.
He's back. He's out of juvie.
Dude, he's fucking playing. He's Detroit. He's playing Philly right now.
Oh, he's playing Philly?
Fuck Philly. And why are they winning?
Jimmy Howard's not having a good night.
The Philadelphia Penises? Yeah.
What?
The Philadelphia.
They're the Flyers.
I know. Exactly.
The Philadelphia Yinglings.
Exactly. Dude, the Philadelphia Bingo Halls.
What part of Pennsylvania is Yingling from? I thought it was Western Pennsylvania.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Drinking Iron City beer, dude.
Dude, I'm drinking Iron City. It's so haggard.
Dude, fucking Iron City, more like fucking Iron Shitty, right?
Dude, oh my God, Pete Milk. He's so haggard.
Well.
He reminds me of my friend Rab. He's so good.
Oh, God. Rab. Rab himself. Pete himself.
Pete himself.
Pete Milk himself. Milk himself.
That sounds dirty. Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. Well, on that note.
Wait, hold on. Before we get going.
Wait, what do you got to do?
We got to earn our trigger warning.
No. Shut the fuck up. Just bleep whatever he thinks he's going to say.
Can we just have that? Can we just have a series of bleeps? That'd be hilarious.
I mean, I would have to figure it out.
How to do a fucking bleep. Unless
we just download a bleep sound effect. Put it in. Yeah. This isn't live.
It's not? I quit.
Kayfabe.
All right. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah.
In the words,
I have to do something else now. In addition to everything else, I
know. In the words of the immortal Tracy Smothers. No. In the words of the immortal Jim Cornette.
Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Hey everyone, if you enjoy the quality of what you're hearing and you've got a studio project, a band looking to record, a podcast of your own, or any audio related items, please shoot an email to pmilkovic.1@gmail.com. That's pmilkovic.1@gmail.com. We've got full capabilities for tracking, mixing, editing, and mastering. If you got any interest, please shoot an email. All right, thanks. Have a good week. All right, y'all, you're rolling.
Rolling,
indeed. Hang on 1 second. Let me pull up my notes.
All right.
He was ready to go. I just wasn't ready.
I was fucking born ready.
Well, at least we have an outtakes reel for the end of the night.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Making me laugh.
I think it should just be the Philly fan and Ty the Gatherer meet up and share a Faygo.
I'm just like, dude, this is shitty. What's in this? You're just like, Faygo and get chopped a bitch. And I'm just like, do you have any Yingling?
I'm like, no.
4 out of 5 Yinglings. That was fucking cool.
Dude, I'm on some, at least some Rolling Rock, dude. Come on.
Old Latrobe, man.
I'd rather drink.
Except Budweiser fucking owns them now.
I'd rather drink Natty Light than this shit.
Oh, Ninja, you fucked.